On that note, let's get started with tonight's shiur. What we're going to do today is, last week we started talking about the idea of showing a knife to a chacham prior to slaughtering. Next week we will actually answer a lot of the questions that we left off on last week about the nature of this. Specifically, when we look at the shita of the Rambam, we're not going to focus on the Rambam this week. This week we're going to focus on two shitas, the Bahag and the Raza. What's interesting is, there are at least four main shitos as to how to interpret why it might be aser to show one's knife to a chacham on Yom Tov. We saw Rashi last week, and let's read Rashi again. We're on Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Rashi says, "Mahu laharos hatabach sakin lechacham biyom tov livdok." Rashi says, you know, can the butcher show the chacham his knife on Yom Tov to check? Sheitilu chachamim al hatabachim. Okay, that the Chachamim said that all the butchers have to laharosak and lachacham koron shi ishchot, that they should show their knife to a chacham before they shecht. Shum behema any animal umahu lasos kain biyom tov, and what would be the halacha to do this on Yom Tov? Mi mechzik uvda dechol da avshamilsa. Rashi says, is this uvda dechol? It's avshamilsa, right? Something that we have with any, you know, inappropriate actions for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Shedato limchor beitlis, is it that you know, it's looking like he's going to be selling it in the butcher shop, and therefore it would be uftin dechol, or olo merci, or does it not look like that, and therefore it would be mutter? We mentioned very briefly last week the Rambam also, but we'll focus on Rashi and the Rambam a little bit more next week because they really have two similarities in their shitos. The Rambam is of the opinion that we're worried that you may find a nick and go and sharpen it. Rashi and the Rambam are in the same boat for two reasons, and again, we'll discuss this more next week. Reason number one why they're in the same boat is they both try to interpret it to relate to the Gemaras around them. Rashi, in continuing the thread of the Gemaras as Hilchos butchers, and the Rambam in realizing why this is put in the middle of the knife sharpening, so yeah. But number two, also, both are very hard to understand the Lashon HaGemara as to which subset of the population this relates to, but we'll get more into that next week. First, I thought we'd start off with quoting the Shita of the Rif, quoting the Shita of the Rosh, which is really from the Bahag, and you can see it in source number Aleph. Yibay Lehu, Ma'u Laharosak and Lachacham Yom Tov, Rav Maribre Duravika Shari, which is what we had in the Gemara, Rabbanan Asri, which is what we had in the Gemara, Upirish Bal Halachos Tama de Milsa, and the Bahag explained, what's the reason? Why would the Rabbanan Asr it? Dilma azil chutz letchum le'achvuye. That we're scared, maybe you're going to walk outside the tchum in order to show it to this chacham. Amar Rav Yehuda, however, Rav Yehuda said, as we have in the Gemara, Talmid chacham ro'a la'atzmo umash ila la'acherim. Talmid chacham can, again, check his own knife and then lend it out to other people, so there's no concern. So says the Rosh. Okay? Oh no, where did this... I don't know how that got pushed so far down, but anyways. Says the Rif, in the name of the Bahag, that this is all about a chashash for chutz l'tchum. And there's really a lot of discussion on this point, beginning with the Baal Hamar. The Baal Hamar, when he sees that in the Rif, he is not happy with that.
I don't understand Rabbi Yehuda's answer.
We're going to get to issues like that as well. Not necessarily focused around him. For Rabbi Yehuda, it's very simple. I'll explain to you Rabbi Yehuda now, although we will get into this a little bit more later. For Rabbi Yehuda,
If you're coming to it, then I'll wait.
No, I think it's fine to give it an overview now, and we'll discuss it more in relation to the Shita of the Baal Hamar later. So it's good that I should flesh it out first. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there's obviously no chashash that I'm going to walk out of the tchum to get to my house. Right? It's in my house. I have the right. So when that's the case, since that is really an irrelevant concern,
to where the Talmud Chacham is to show it to him.
No, but I'm the Talmud Chacham, yeah. Right? Yeah. Talmud Chacham. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Talmud Chacham ro'a la'atzmo mashil al acherim. So nobody's going to walk to my house to borrow my knife, I guess is what he's saying. Maybe that's a milsa de lo shchicha, but that's why this does not apply to the Talmud Chacham, because he'll never accidentally walk outside the tchum trying to go show someone else's knife, because he himself is seeing it.
The Rabbanan are talking about a different case?
Yeah, they're talking about a stama person.
Stama person.
I want to go shecht. As we learned last week, I have to take my knife to the rabbi, even if I know it's kosher. Right? Even if I know it's kosher.
Rabbi Yehuda is not commenting. Yeah. He's adding a gloss.
Correct, and that's why he puts the reason beforehand, right? And Rabbi Huda is saying, this is the way, you can do it even according to the Rabbanan. He's not disagreeing with the Rabbanan, that's only a machlokas between Rav Mari Breda Rav Ika and Rabbanan.
But
okay?
Is the Rosh saying...
And in our Gemara, by the way, Rav Mari Breda Rav Bizna.
Just to add to what Gerard was saying.
And it's Rav Yosef who has this idea, yes.
Is the Rosh saying that he's only talking about a normal individual, and that for a butcher, we would not be afraid because he himself could have checked, and so he would be more careful.
Nope. The way the Rosh seems to be understanding it, again, the Bahag, is that there is no difference between a regular Tavach and between a regular individual. It's only the Talmud Chacham, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who has this heter according to, again, the Shita of the Rabbanan. There's no difference between them because, as we're going to focus on again and again, and as we mentioned last week, the reason why you have to show the knife to the Talmud Chacham is not to make sure just that it's kosher, but also to just get your, like, approval, okay? And therefore, that's why he says that. Now, the Baal Amor right away starts us off, really, with the first of the tumults of the night. Pir Shaharif Zal, the Rif explains, Mishum Gzeira Shema Yetzi Chutz L'Tchum. He says, it's because of a Gzeira that we might take it outside the Tchum. He says, well, one second, we hold that Tchumen are only Dirabanan. Or at least according to that opinion, he says, we don't make Zeros based on that. And we're going to see, a few examples of this. This is going to be really fleshed out by the Ramban and Milchamos. We'll discuss this, defend the Rif from the question of the Baal Hamor. But really, he'll go through the whole sugya. But basically what he says is like this. Technically speaking, in general, when we have a derabanan, we don't make a gzera for it. Tchumen are a derabanan. Why would we then make a gzera for it in this case that we're worried you're going to take it outside the tchum? That's only a derabanan, and you wouldn't make a gzera to a derabanan. That's a simple way to read the question of the Baal Hamor, and therefore he offers two alternatives. Number one, Rashi. Farav Shlomo Zalpirish Mishum De'av Shamel Savanir Kamov Shedat Olim Kar Be'itlis. Says Rashi thinks it's because again of Avsham Elsav Uvdin Dechol, which we touched on briefly, but again we'll focus on more next week. Velinir, as says the Baal Hamor, Re'ias Sakin Ki Re'ias Bechorhi, Sheme Akeves Hashkita Venira Kimitakin Vidan Es Hadin. Okay, there is this separate issue which we know that exists of Re'ias Bechor, which means you can't bring your Bechor to a Talmud Chacham on Yontif to see because in some ways it's like Misakin and Dan Es Hadin. When you're bringing the Bechor, that's really allowing it to be slaughtered. When you're checking the mum on the Bechor to see whether or not you can have it. And therefore, in this case, just like over there, that would allow you to slaughter it, and it's like misakein, so too here, this would be prohibited. Okay, and that's his way of taking it. It's like seeing a Bechor. Just like he can't see a Bechor, he's not allowed to check your knife. It's like misakein vidanes hadin. Okay, now before we get back to the Baal Hamor's question, I wanted to take a look at the question of the Pnei Yehoshua, which finds its way into so many different forms, specifically in terms of how we answer this question for the Rif. Right, the Rif, and again, the Rosh, who cite the Bahag, say that it's a concern of going outside the Tchum. And before we get to figuring out exactly, is it Doraisa, Dorabanan, when's it Doraisa, when's it Dorabanan, how's it going to work, the Pnei Yehoshua asks a better question. Ela she'arav alfas kasaf od ta'am acher, v'shem bahag, says, but the Rif wrote a different reason, meaning other than Rashi and the Rambam's reason, I don't remember who he was quoting at that point. Deha de'aser laharosakin l'cha'acham, in source number 3, ha'inu shema lo yimtza chacham ve'yelech l'tchum. And he already saying, maybe he won't be able to find a chacham, and he would go outside the tchum. V'lech ora yesh litmoa, asks the Pnei Yehoshua, if this is really the reason here, why you can't show your knife to an expert, then we should ask the following. Says the Pnei Yehoshua, you know the halacha is you are allowed to ask a treifa question on yantif to a chacham, and there is no concern that this will be the case. He says, if you're going to explain that that's the reason here, the same logic should apply to a case of treifa, which is permitted. So again, we so far have three cases that you can show someone.
I thought we passed that we don't ask only certain very small shalas, the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Only small shalas you're allowed to ask a rub, but you're not allowed.
So it could be an outgrowth of this, but in terms of the din itself, dina de Gemara, a treifa, there is no concern at the very least from this perspective.
Okay, I understand. Just wondering.
Right, I don't know how it comes to Lach HaLamaisa. Maybe next week's year or the following week's year, we'll take a look at how this comes down.
No, we learned it.
I mean, you guys would have had earlier in beta, yeah.
Right.
That's correct. And he says there's no such reason to aser a chacham from seeing a treifa on Yom Tov. So again, we have treifa, which is going to be ostensibly mutter. We have bechor, which is going to be aser. And then now we have this case, which is going to be, we want to find a reason that's unique enough to this case that it won't affect treifa, but it can be compared to bechor.
Okay, yeah, you have to look at the cases differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a bechor is not permissible. It's an isur, and the chacham is the one who's making it permissible when he looks at it.
Okay.
The treifa is actually kosher, and he's just clarifying whether it is treif or not.
Excellent.
So it is permissible. And the sakin, I looked up that the sakin has to be checked either before or after the shlita, but ideally before. And if it's not checked, the animal is not kosher. It's not until the knife has been checked, the mm-hmm. animal is not considered proper shlita. It's not permissible.
And so what if it was checked but not by the chacham? So that's something that we're going to get to. That's a practical halacha question, what you're talking about. But in terms of understanding the logic of it,
the knife has to be checked with the tum on it beforehand. Every shlita. So I tried to find out what happens if you do a few shlitas with one kosher knife.
Right.
And my understanding, but I couldn't find it, is that if you find the gum at the end, the shlitas in between are okay if it was checked before. But ideally, you're supposed to check it before. But it's not.
Are you talking about there's a nick in the knife when you do check it, and therefore.
It's complex. But ideally, you're supposed to check and make sure there's no nick before you start.
But the checking for the nick,
no problem.
As we learned last week, is
right. But that's part of making a kosher shlita.
But the checking for the nick, as we said last week, can be distinct from showing it to the rabbi. The zera to show it to the rabbi is only because of kavod. And again, even if you knew with 1,000% certainty there was no nick in the knife, you still need to show it to the rabbi. And that's something that's going to come up to play because this is clearly about showing it to the rabbi and not about ascertaining whether or not there's a nick. Right? Because if it was all about ascertaining whether or not it's a nick, the biggest proof, and we may see this, is how could the guy check it himself then? If it's really about ascertaining the kashrus of the knife, it shouldn't make a difference. Who's seeing it?
Right. And in halacha, it does make a difference.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure everybody will agree with that. Anyways,
the simple difference between a knife and a treifa is a knife isn't very heavy and it's easy to carry outside the clue.
Yeah, I was thinking the same
thing. Right. Treifa,
yeah,
carry.
I think that's a practically good answer. Let's see what the Pnei Yoshua answers, then we'll see how other people interpret the Pnei Yoshua in an extremely creative way, and then we'll see some of the other answers, but I think that's a good question as well. You're not likely to schlep the animal to the middle of nowhere, right? So he asks, what about the treifa? V'yesh liyashif, says the Pnei Yoshua. Cave under Ias Trefa Gufa Melsa de Loshriach. The rove behemos ksheros. So at the end of the day, what percentage of animals do you have a shayla of a trefa on? 1%, 2%. How many animals do you have a trefa shayla on? I'm not talking about how many animals actually have trefos that we don't check. That's another story altogether. And Rishurkin always used to talk about how people think they're being so machmir. In reality, a very large percentage of animals that people eat are actual trefos, but they're considered kosher according to halacha because they're in the range of miyud she'eno matzui, and therefore it's not required that we check, for example, the brain of the animal or all types of other parts of the animal where trefos are not usually found. Even though it's true in 1% and 2% of cases they will actually occur there, and we will never know about them. But anyways, that's a separate issue. So says the Pnei Yoshua, he says, well, how often is it that you're
vegan?
No.
No, just kidding.
No. He once said he's not sure if you'd be able to find actually treif meat in Israel with all the different things. Says maybe if you, shot a chicken or something, you could find treif meat. But otherwise...
Oh, really?
I mean, there's some very interesting things he always has to say about the kashrus organizations. There are some very interesting things he has to say about a lot of things. Anyways, I would highly recommend, by the way, realizing, what world he comes from. Probably many of you are familiar with his Sefer.
Yes.
Yes? Anybody know what Sefer he wrote?
Hare
Kedem, very good. Rabbi Grisman actually told me, he said, I don't remember if it was Shabbos Shuvah or Shabbos Agadol. He said, I have never prepared a Shabbos, I think it was Shabbos Agadol Drasha, without using it. And it's his, Rabbi Shurkin's recordings of the Rav's Torah. He also wrote a Sefer called Megad Givos Olam, though, which is stories that he heard or saw or experienced either firsthand or through his father or MPH, but that he was certain about, that he recorded. It's basically a storybook. Now, it has some fairly extreme stories in there about the Olam HaYeshivas in Europe and things like that. His father learned in Radin. So there's some very interesting things that may not exactly correspond to our sensibilities, but almost in every single case, if not in every single case, they're actually true, which is what's unique about them. Anyways, getting back to our topic, though, says Bnei Yeshua, what percentage of cases is this happening in? Right? He says, so, saying it's in a case where you're going to show a treifa. I mean, like, you're not going to be goes there if this is only happening, you know, 2% of the time, 5% of the time. We're not going to be goes there in general that you can't see it. However, that is required for every single shechita. So therefore, he says it's very simple. If that's happening all the time, then we know that there's more of a chance that that'll get taken out of the tchum. He says it's an odds game. The odds of having a treifa question and going outside the tchum are very low. The odds of having a sakin that needs to be checked are very high, and therefore we're going to be goes there on a more remote chance because that happens all the time. Okay, so that's the way he answers the question. However, I was looking through the other mefarshim and I saw Rav Eliashiv. V'apnei Yoshua Hiksha, the Ichayshin Hashem Ayetzei in source number Dalet. Mida Aschutz L'tchum T'il Haros L'chacham. Somebody might go outside the Tchum R'tcho T'chacham. Im Kim Yach Tama Yesh Lasser Gam Liros She'ela B'treifos. D'Shem Ayetzei Mishum Kach Mechutz L'tchum. Umetaretz HaPnei Yoshua. Let's see how he records HaPnei Yoshua's answered. D'Besaken Chayshin Antfei She'yodeya D'vada Yihira O'ilishchot Al Yedei HaSaken V'rak Tzarich L'haros L'chacham. He says, what's the rule? You can already have seen the knife. I can be the shaychet. I can be myself at home. I look at this knife, I run my fingernail across it, hopefully I don't cut off my finger or anything like that, and I know that this knife is 100% kosher to shecht with. But what's the rule about? I still have to show this to the city rabbi. It's a matter of kavod. I have to get rishus from him before I can shecht. So this time, why am I so urgently trying to find the rabbi? Because I know that as soon as I get his permission, I can shecht. Masha Einken, he says, let's continue on, right? But with the treifa, it's a toss-up anyways. You know probably the rabbi's going to say it's no good, so you're not going to go around searching for the rabbi here, there, in the next place. Why? Because anyways, chances are it's not going to be good. And that's how you can look back at the Pnei Yoshua. It's a very tough read of the Pnei Yoshua. But there are certain... I don't think that that's what Pnei Yoshua is saying, but it's interesting that this is the way he understood the Pnei Yoshua. Say the difference between treifa and our case is that not that our case takes place all the time, but rather in our case it's certain that he'll be able to use the knife once he shows it to him. Masha Einkin, with the treifa, it's not certain that he'll be able to eat it once he shows it to him, so he won't go schlepping again or out to the middle of the boondoggles in order to find the rabbi. Okay. That's one answer. He gives another answer there as well. Odish lumber of an acher. Dibemes ikaharbe tamid chamashiachom leda masakin kasher lo. Vechen gavitrefain lacho shaloya besochatumi shabaki bechos trefos. Vikola chashashu dafka gavisakan shalchita di ikadin lar osu lachacham ha'ir bedafka. He says a din which we didn't develop that much last week, but that's basically for the knife, it has to be shown specifically to the rabbi of the community. Right? It has to be shown specifically to Rabbi Karavkin. You can't show it to any rabbi you want. Even though there may be many other people who have smicha, you have to show it specifically to the community rabbi. Whereas with the treifa, there are many good talmidei chachamim you can show it to. It's not a matter of kavod for the community rabbi, as we mentioned, but rather it's just simply.
Why would he be chutz tchum if it's a community rabbi?
So this is the question. Let's skip now. Then you know what? Let's skip now to the Meiri, right? We're on source number Zion. We will go back. We will go back. I was wondering the same thing. Okay. Right? He says, basically, he brings the other shitos to me, or he doesn't. Again, we'll get back on how he brings the Rambam next week. V'chol zeh eino nireh. He says, all of these reasons that I brought you don't make any sense. V'ikar advarim be'ister zeh. The main reason for this ister is, shehayu chachamim ba'osuzman kovim lahem perek v'yeshiva besados chutz l'tchum. Says, apparently, that's where they would set up shop. They would be in the sados. That's where they would have their yeshivas, I guess, outside the city. And therefore, v'shem ha'yelich am ha'arad zeh, chutz l'tchum, below Eruv, l'haroso, v'yafal pi, sh'atchum en midra banan. V'nim zekzir alazir, mikol makom, and he'll get to dealing with that question, which we're going to deal with in
like
Ramban.
Like well.
Correct.
As what? Shabbos Nyotub, he's going to be outside the tchum?
Even on Shabbos Nyotub, because you can have an Eruv v'tchumen. which these people won't know about. But yes, apparently, exactly. That's where these rabbis would be.
Wouldn't they have their own Erev then?
They'd have an Erev Bitumen. Does that work for everybody else? Where's everybody else coming from? I don't know. Right? Presumably they don't. But anyways, apparently he's just simply saying that was the reality which he was at the very least aware of or created to defend the Rif. I don't know. I based on what he said about the other reasons that none of them make sense, I don't get the impression that he was just trying to defend the Rif here for no good reason. He really seems to think this is a legitimate question in Taina, and therefore he actually supports this Shita, and he also defends it on other grounds. But nevertheless, that could be a possibility that apparently this is where the rabbis of the city used to be, out in the fields.
And because it's a Zera now that we don't take a second tip, does that mean it applies today too? It's only a Zera.
So we'll discuss that a little bit more next week.
Right,
okay?
Because most rabbis these days do live...
There's a Maharshal. You should check out the Maharshal. Maharshal is a nice long piece on that. Not really. I think it was Maharshal who talked about that. Specifically, next week when we're going to discuss the Rambam, the Rambam ties it to an actual Isser. The Rambam says about sharpening your knives. You know, it's hard to... and he ties it also to finding a pagam. Anyways, okay.
You know, the famous story of Chaim Soloveitchik and Chaim Brusker, in Europe, when they had this little town, which in those days, everything was political, right? So the town was basically the Shoftim were allied with the Mizrahi.
Uh-huh.
And then Gudda basically got a sock in from a Gudda in Warsaw to basically throw these guys out and appoint their own Shoftim. And Soloveitchik basically said that the local community rabbi was basically affiliated with Mizrahi.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you can't go over his head. You guys that you're placed in with, you have to do for yourself the community rabbi and Shoftim. You can't go and have Shoftim appointed based on the good of Warsaw.
Interesting.
Wasn't it the opposite? The Warsaw was Mizrahi?
No. It wasn't in Brisk. It was in a town in Poland. Forget the name of the town.
Wherever, that little Lubavitch town, whatever it was called.
No, it's Mizrahi.
Anyways.
Okay, with the mere calling of the person Aretz, I assume the butcher was someone who was knowledgeable and knew the halacha. And so, again, like, you know, all these things, I think we're talking about individuals and not the actual butcher.
Right.
So that's something... I was worried to bring the Meiri this week for that reason, because that's really what I want to focus on next week. As I said, the common denominator between Rashi and the Rambam is it's hard to know who this should apply to according to them. According to Rashi, we're limiting it to Tabachim. If you're going to take the Meiri at face value, the Meiri really seems to be limiting it to Amei Haaretz, who won't know this. And the question is, again, does this really apply to everybody or not? And I think that that's a very valid question. The question, again, will also fall, as we mentioned, on the Rambam. In that saying, it shouldn't be mutter for anybody to look at knives, according to him, because it's actually a legitimate gzera on it, possibly a deoraisa, depending on how you learn the sugya. And again, it's hard to know. You know, does this apply only to an Am Haaretz? Does this apply? It's a fair question. It's really a fair question. I would say the Meiri probably doesn't actually intend that, and he's just saying like the general hamon am, and therefore he would say the reason why rabbis can do it. It's because they know, you know, to make a proper Eruv Tchumen, but in a Hanami, I think it's a very good question. Meaning, we have to realize that it's not just specifically talking about the rabbi who's outside the Tchum according to him. According to him, it may be any knowledgeable person, Tamun Chacham Ro'al Atzmo Shel Achirim, is Lav Dafka, the reason why you can see it, because they know to make Eruv Tchumen. Okay, and you were going to respond.
I wasn't responding specifically to that, but the actual, when they're writing the Halacha, they're writing it based on the custom had changed already, where the butchers were not required to show the knife to the rabbis anymore. The rabbis were more on their kavod, and the butchers were checking themselves. So that, like, I don't know when they're giving halacha, whether they're
right, and what the particular minhagim were in their places.
Yeah,
I mean, they are working certainly with Dina de Gemara when they're explaining it, so I don't think that's a concern. Meaning they're clearly, I mean, we've seen the way people are talking, even Rabbi Yashiv, right? I mean, he's talking about it as back then. I think the Rishonim were dealing with that as well, even though it's true it may not have been present already in their time. But I think they're working within those Gemaras that we saw last week to say, here's the reason, here's what people do, even if they weren't actually doing that. Okay. The Slach, you know, offers a different take. Again, he says, Arif Hashem Bahag Pir, Shatam Delme Yetzichot Sochum Achar Achacham, in source number Hey, at the end of the first line, Vikshah Pnei Yoshua. Again, back to this Pnei Yoshua's question. Everybody's dealing with this Pnei Yoshua's question, trying to figure out what's the difference between Trefa and showing a Zakin. Right, Laras Trefa Lachem Yotz. Ula Niostati Nira, second line. We'll just start there. De Trefa, Kevan Shemishkachas, Sheis Damin Lo She'elas Trefa Vyomtov, Shrei Shoftin Vyomtov, Vekama Trefa, as Ekob of Neme Ayin, Viloya Asher Lassam Larosam Vyomtov. In short, what he's trying to say is that basically we want people to be able to ask them on Yom Tov, so we're not going to make a gzera on something that was you were able to do from yesterday because you weren't necessarily able to do it from yesterday. It came up today, you shechted it, you want to know, is this a trefa, is this not a trefa, whatever the case may be. He says, Aval Sakin, if you jump down to the third line with four words left to the line, Aval Sakin, Hayayachal Laharoso Etmal Lechacham, says he was able to show it yesterday to the Chacham, Ulekach Asru Laharoso Beyomtov, Mitam Shemayetze Acharav Chutz Letchum. He says, that's why we're worried, you know, about going outside the Tchum. Why? Because you could have showed it to him yesterday.
So he doesn't say a kanas, he says to outside the room.
So it's like,
correct.
It's like other than a yantavish. We could have done it yesterday, then we're not.
Correct. And that's what he says the actual difference is between them.
So he's putting both of them together, right?
Correct.
So
he really is. Yeah. And I thought that was a very interesting take. Again, there has to be some element of, you know, of kanas ish element in here, like you were saying, because, I mean, at the end of the day, there shouldn't be a difference. If it's not because we're being more machmir on this person because he didn't show it yesterday, then how can we still be gozer in one case and not another? Clearly we are. But anyways, and then he goes on to compare it to the third case that we had. The im teshiveni mireias mumin biyomtov tishar Rabbi Yehuda le'el v'masis n'daf chafem ad-beis v'ainu b'mum sh'nafal b'me'erav yantif k'nimuki la'el. Says, I bet that's also one that's available from Erav Yantif. Kisogia d'bechar v'lo chay shinan shema yelech achar achacham chutz l'tchum. V'ulai be'emes sogia dekan de'astru laharasakin lachacham haynu aliba de'hilchasad maskinan le'el de'sogia be'bechor de'ein ro'en mumin be'yantif. He says, you know what? He says, you're forced to say that that would be a strong kasha on him. Because that case clearly is also a case that where you had it available to you before yantif. And he says, therefore, this must be going within the maskana that it's asr, and it'd be asr as well for this reason. And this is how he ties it in, right? He says, avalari Kihechi deroen mumin biyantif, but if you were to ask Rabbi Yehuda, hachanami yachal harosakin lachacham biyantif, he would hold that just like you can show mumin, so too you'd be allowed to show the knife.
That makes sense.
Right? And he says, v'altisma, and don't ask on the shari labala mor vadai kainhu, shu nasan tam shasr laharosakin lachacham, dehavi kiriyas mumin debachar. Says the Tzlach, he says, in fact, so much so, I'll give you a proof that this is right, that the Balamar, as we saw, actually lists this as the reason. The same reason that we have there is applicable here. Why? Again, it's how Nira Kemisakin Vidanis Hadin, that you're changing the status of this and you're allowing it to happen, right? Hare Shehu Tola Riyas Sakin Briyas Bechari says they are the same halacha. And therefore, he says it's all about a pre-yantif, post-yantif, and that this Gemara is only going according to the Manda Amar over there, that it would be Aser. Okay.
But we've only ever seen the issue of whether you could have looked to check something before yantif,
mm-hmm.
or ground something before yantif, and the issue of kanas as opposed to tchum.
That's why I'm saying there has to be a kanas element.
That's why I agree with you. So I said that din of tchum it doesn't fit into the previous gemaras. That nobody
right.
ever talked about tchum before.
Right. So again, the assumption here seems to be that we're looking at this case from, you know, from a variety of perspectives. On the one hand, right, we want to try to fit it into the order. On the other hand, these Rishonim are saying those reasons don't make sense. And next week, we'll see the local reasons and why people reject them. We'll see the Rambam, which, by the way, if you want to see the Rambam inside, you saw Rashi inside, but I brought it in Source Yud Aleph, because I knew that the Rambam was going to come up again and again and again and again in the Shir. So, I mean, you can look at the Rambam inside there. The Rambam really puts it in the local sugya. He talks about it as a concern for sharpening knives, and you can take a look for a minute at that.
That's why we like the Rambam.
But at the end of the day, clearly the Rif the Balamar, the Rosh, and the meaning those quoting the Bahag and the Balamar on its own, realize that those are not legitimate enough reasons, or they are not reasons that would apply to this particular population, as I mentioned, and we're getting a little bit into next week's shir here, right? But according to Rashi, it only applies to tabachim, to butchers, which the Gemara does not say. And according to the Rambam, it should apply to everybody. So you're really not finding sort of good reasons that are local enough to the sugya, then you're going to reject them, and you're going to go for cases like tum. Now again, there obviously has to be some element of knas, if he's saying it's a difference between before yantif and after yantif, the knas being that we're going to be machmir on you even in a lo shchiach case of tumin. But the isser is because of tum. It's not a pure knas like we see in other cases, but rather a knas that we're going to apply a gzera, which is otherwise not so shchiach. That's how I would explain your comment.
Can we go back to this for a second?
Yes.
Okay. I may not be recalling the case correctly, but I thought with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding the Bechor, and their sides were reversed from the normally had, mm-hmm. and we had to go through a convoluted case to make it that Rabbi Yehuda permitted it by saying that the Chacham actually saw it on Erev Yontif, and they gave the Psak on Yontif itself. So that would not be the same as the knife.
To be honest, I didn't read through the whole Mishnah and Gemara there. I probably should have, but I just took this last word at face value, where he says that this is talking about something which was there even on Erev Yontif. I still think that you can explain the Tzlach based on what you're recalling. Lemaisa, we should have wanted the rabbi to give the Psak on Erev.
Right, but that's why he had to say when Rabbi Yehuda would have permitted it is because the rabbi already saw it.
Right. Because otherwise he wouldn't. Yeah, but nevertheless, I think the Tzlach can work within that, but I didn't go back to that sugya the way I probably should have. Okay, so basically, so far this year, to sum up where we're at, we had the shita of the Bahag cited in the Rif, cited in the Rush, that is all about the Tchum, and we dealt with question number one, which is comparing this to other similar cases of Re'iyas Bechor and to seeing a Treifa. Now, at the end of the day, we had the Balamar's question. The Balamar's question, to recap, was, Derabanan, how are we going to deal with that? So for that, we turn to the Rambanan Milchamos, and again, we'll go back to the Meiri in a moment. Says Rambanan Milchamos, Amar HaKosev, Ravim Sovrim Ditchumin Shalosh Parsa Del Raisahim. First of all, different Tchumin. Shalosh Parsa is potentially a Del Raisa. Umishum Hachi, and therefore, Chayshinan Beholech Esakin Shema Yelech Achar Chacham Shalosh Parsaos. And we're actually worried in that case that we would go after a Chacham Shalosh Parsaos. Now, what was the case that the Balamor brought? The Balamor brought by Rofin Al-Gabe Behema that's not one of the concerns, right? That riding on an animal, we're not worried that you're going to accidentally go outside the Tchum, right? V'gabe Rofin Al-Gabe Behema Ein Lachu Shema Yetzei Shelo L'Das. He says, we're not worried that in that case you're going to go accidentally Chutz L'Shalosh Parsaos. Ela Be'Alpayim Amah Shumakom Karo. There, the sugya is only talking about Alpayim Amah, meaning Shalosh Parsaos is much further, apparently, than Alpayim Amah, and therefore, Shalosh Parsaos, which may be De'oraisa, that's not a concern in the comparable case that the Baal Hamor brought up as a question. The concern in that other case is Taka Tchum and Durabanan concern of Alpayim Amah, Shumakam Karov, who Shiyesh Lachosh, that's where you're going to worry, Kishelo Yelech Baragla Shemelo Yechave Nesat Tchum. That's where you're worried you might not accidentally do when you're not going. And that's why we ask there, Shmami not tchumin de'oraisa? With that teacher tchumin de'oraisa, but legabi l'harasak and l'chacham choshishin, sheharei tzarech l'olicha acharav k'neged machanei Yisrael. Afal pishu hu baki, kol shekein l'mi she'eno baki. And he basically says, we're worried that by the knife, you know, you're walking, and you may accidentally, you've got to go all this far, far, far distance. We are worried that you're going to go to the chutz l'tchum. It's not an accidental concern. It may even be we're worried that the person is going to go, I'm just going to walk a little bit further to get to the rabbi's house. After all, I'm just going to the rabbi's house. And he's going to take it out. And therefore he says, right? He says, Chachamim weren't found. Again, the rabbi that said he was not around, he says, and therefore, this person's used to regularly walking this distance to take it to the rabbi on a weekday. Therefore, we're going to be gozer on it on Shabbos. And it's possible that Shalosh Parsaos are Doraisa, right? And therefore, he says, V'ukasiv balachos ve'anu ein da'atenu v'lo das balamarkin v'gam diver Rabbeinu Gadolzal anu motim osam sham min hadas hazo. He says at the end of the day we reject this and we don't say that is de'oraisa, and therefore we're still going to have a problem. Meaning, even though he says you could have explained that Gemara, that only there it's talking about the Rabbanan Tchumen, but Tchumen themselves, in this case, are really De'oraisa, and that's the reason. That's what he suggested. First, is the end of the day, though, we don't actually paskin that way. So I shouldn't tell you that's the case. Aval yesh lomar, and here's what he says, Divare lo chashu b'tchumen sheva lo yehe mechavein babarochev, elo divar omer tchumen de'oraisa, aval b'molich sakin lechacham, shu mechazer acharav v'yitziyasu chutzutchum tshrichalo, gzera krovahi v'ashu v'ilu b'shel divrayem gazrinan. He says, at the end of the day, even though over there it's true the Gemara was thinking that when it comes to an accidental tchum passage on an animal, it would have had to have been de'oraisa, which is why the Gemara there asks, are you telling me tchum or de'oraisa? He says, it's true that would have had to have been the case there, but here, when it's so common, we're gozer even for a derabanan. Okay? And he says, right, v'hadar be'kama gzeros b'talmud mishum isurin shel devrayim on the second last line. There are many gzeros in the Gemara because of isurei derabanan, b'yantev u'b'shavis, u'lamala gazru b'tchum mishum amir l'nachri b'lvad, and we have amir l'nachri chashashos. So he says, basically, even though we could have explained it by saying that our case is really a chashash de'oraisa, and that case really isn't a chashash de'oraisa, nevertheless, since we don't actually paskin that way, he says, we're just going to say this is actually a gzera on a derabanan. That's how he comes out, and that's how he defends the riff. Looking at the Meiri, right? Right?
So is the elephant in the room still Simchas Yantif to derisive?
Again, Simchas Yantif.
We just need to ignore that.
Yes, let's just spend the entire Mesechus with Simchas Yantif being a deoraisa and still not a reason to be over Isurim. Simchas Yantif is something which you can do within a framework of halacha. That doesn't mean you're just given a carte blanche to just invalidate any halachas that you want, despite the fact that it may be used in certain cases. But
there are certain cases.
There are certain cases, but like, again, when we're covering, when we're trying to figure out...
After Shechita, right? We talked about Simchas Yantif, right?
But it clearly wasn't taken into account when we're figuring out these cases.
No, I understand. I'm just defending.
Yeah.
Defending Alan.
Yeah. Right.
No,
right.
I mean, it doesn't answer the equation.
No, it doesn't answer. I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
If you look at the Meiri, right? The Afalpi, the second line. We read the first line, which was him talking about that the rabbis were out so far outside the city in general. It says, V'afalpi sheat chumin midrabanan v'nimtzes gzera l'gzera. And he says it's outright. He says, even though it's chumin midrabanan. And it turns out to be Xera Lexera, source number 7 on the second side. Mikal Makom, nevertheless, Bidavar Hakarov Kolkach, Yish Lihistarech Beisr. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what Lihistarech means, to be honest with you, but basically he says, you know, it's quite likely that we do Xera Lexera here because it's such a common case.
So, does that mean that, in again, I mean, if in the whole society is different and the Chacham is always there, around. Will we take away this example?
So let's jump down one line. Umikan ani omer, says the Meiri. The Meiri declares, Shebizman hazeh she'achachamim mitzuyim bivateyem mutter laharos sakin l'chacham. Ulevai! He says, you should go and show your sakin to a chacham. Right? Exactly what you're saying. He says, 100%. If this is Xera about where the chachamim were found, says the Meiri, let's take it all the way. 100, exactly. 100%, he says. If this is all Xera for Tchumen, if the Xera is no longer relevant, scrap the Xera. And never mind the fact that we don't show the sakin to rabbis. He's saying, just mishum the Xera, scrap it.
That would be difficult. We haven't heard the Rambam yet, but that would be difficult to rabbi. If you say it's the Raisa, the Gzera, you just can't take away and say, well, because people are finding. The only reason you can do this is because it's a Gzera Derban, so you can sort of
not
change
true.
It. No, a Gzera Deraisa, like a refuah, like taking pills and stuff like that. We, you know, there's a lot, you're not allowed to do it, even though today we're not worried about it. If it's a Gzera Deraisa, then you have to worry about it.
I mean, if he's going on here, and he's saying it's not the Gzera because they now live in town.
Right. I don't think he would be mechalek whether or not it's about Shalosh Parsos or not. He does bring that up in the line that we skipped in between to get to this. Possible, right? Oshema Yetei Chushal Shalosh Parsos. which again he may think is deoraisa. I think what he's simply trying to say is that the reality of this gzeira changed.
I mean, there's lots of parasaras. Maybe it's like, okay, we'll worry, but that's not the real issue at that point.
It makes sense to me. I mean, if you think about it, the Gemara talking about times b'shasa shmai, right, where all the rabbis basically were hiding out because they were being persecuted, they'd be outside the tomb.
Interesting, yeah. It's a new take on this, but it's not that far-fetched. It really isn't.
No.
Yeah, I mean, the Meiri seems to be saying it is a change in reality, and therefore it's not relevant. The Rambam's change in reality is a little bit harder to deal with, as we'll see next week. But it's possible. It's possible that he's only saying this because it's Rabbanan, but I'm not sure. Nevertheless, I like this like nice strong language that he ends with, right? Right? Just go show your Zaken. Go out of your way to do this on Yontif.
Logic is his prime and definitive qualities in Meiri.
Yeah.
But if you say,
it also could be
it's the Sakane or anything like that, then it's a different thing altogether, right?
Yeah.
Keep in mind.
Or
what's Rav Mal?
I don't know. I guess maybe it's related to that. I don't know.
When they built Neri Shrov, they put it outside the tomb. Because they wanted the yeshiva to be away from distractions.
Well, that's a general thing, right? They always say the famous drasha, Tzei Olmad.
Yeah.
Right? Only when you go out of the city can you learn. Yeah. And somebody told me when I was in there, at least, what they used to say was as soon as Shoppers Drug Mart opened up across the street, they said it's time to go. That's the way they always told it back then. But, it's not crazy to assume that there was some sort of reality, whether it's again, because of Shmad and they were hiding out, or whether it's simply where they used to hold their learning. Again, either are possibilities, but we do see that there is nevertheless defense, both from the Meiri and from the Rambanan Malchamos, that A, it's possible that this was dependent on a deoraisa, or B, which they seem to be more noted towards, that this is a gzera. L'gzera is a gzera on a deorabanan. Nevertheless, since it's such a likely case, we are gozer that in this case. And the reasons for why it's different than other cases we saw in all those Mefarshim as well, that's really defending the riff. We still didn't get our chance to get back on the case of the Baal Amar. The Baal Amar, as we said, asked a question on the riff, rejected the riff, and therefore gave his own reason of Re'ias Mumin. Okay, Re'ias Bechor, really. B'tamash Baal Amar Zal, Eino de Re'ias Sakin ki Re'ias Trefahu, Ukashar HaHoraos Shemutaros B'Yom Tov. Says the Ramban, now he's going to take issue with the Baal Amar. I mean, that's his job, right? This is the Ramban and Mochamos.
The Baal Amar's job is to take issue with the riff.
Correct. So they're both doing their job very well tonight. It says the Ramban, he says it's not like Re'ias Trefa and Shar HaRosh and Mutaros B'Yom Tov. Ve'eino doma l'Re'ias Bechar, Shu Yotze Michal Kachim Izbeach L'Psuli HaMuktashim Bet Terazu, Nimtza Shu Matiras HaIsser. Vim Haya Tamo Iker Af Tamil Chacham Eino Roa La'atzmo. Vitov Mizeh Mizeh Gzeira Shem HaYashkes V'Mashchezes. And he says the best is the Rambam, which we're going to get to next week. But he basically says, what's the Baal Amar doing? The Baal Amar is messing with things. He's Matir Esa Eser, and he's Oser Esa Mutter. And he says he's just confusing different cases. Don't listen to him. It's a bad idea. It's a big mess.
Whoa.
Now, the Ramban is not the only one to take issue with the Baal Amar here. If you look in the Shita Mikubetzes, he summarizes everybody's Shitos. And he actually asks the question, which really the Ramban's asking, which is, right, what about being Roa La'atzmo? Why can't he then look at it for himself? Meaning, if it's really an issue of psak and an issue of making it allowed, so why is looking at his own knife any better? And this is a question that many have asked, including, as we're going to see, in the Shita Mikubetzes, is the Rashba. Famous, it's generally attributed to the Rashba. People say the Kashya of the Rashba. Okay, but I mean, it's also quoted in the name of the Ramban, and we'll finish off soon with this, because we're already getting close to the end. We'll jump through the Shita here very quickly. Says the Baal Amar, Ma'ol ha'arasak al-lachacham, Pirshur av-zerachi al-levi, D'Rabban al-Nasrim, Shud de-mechzi, Kedana sa-dinuk, Ein Riyas Mumin, it's like Riyas Mumin, V'hikshal av-arash bazal, in the next line of the Shita, D'im kein, af-la-atzmo eino roe, Kimo she-eino roe ha-bechor la-atzmo. If you're not allowed to see a bechor for yourself, how come the Talmud Chacham, if we're really comparing the case, is allowed to lend out his own knife? That should be just as aser. But here it's haritvazal, which I think is a very nice answer. Delegabe acherim she'inan yicholam lishchot zulasi hora aso. For others who can't shecht without his psak, havikim esakin vidanes hadin. Avaliros la'atzmo eno kil ela kiri'as trefa. What's the Ritva saying here? The Ritva saying there's actually a difference in what it accomplishes when he sees it for himself versus what it accomplishes when he looks at it for other people. He says for himself it's like Re'iyas Treifa. For other people it's like Roa Bechor. What a bizarre answer is that. He just like decided to make a brisker chiluk. For himself it's like Re'iyas Treifa. But for everybody else it's like Re'iyas Bechor. And the truth is, if you look, he actually quotes the Radvaz next, the Shita. Umori Nero Tiritz Yoser Nachon. He says he gives a better answer, right? And he says at the end of it, the last three words, Bunachon Umisyashim, and we'll get to that in a minute. But what does that actually mean? So I would point you down to the Ran, who gives a similar answer, which I think is what the Ritva is trying to say. Okay, we'll look at Yud, and then we'll jump back up into test. V'haraz halei bizal kasav. Again, the Balamor writes, Dimishum hachi ein marin sakon l'chacham, mishum davale ke'in ri'yas mumin shel b'char she'asru. And again, it's like seeing Ruman of b'char. V'kasav haramban zal. Okay, at the end of the first line of Yud, she'im haya b'tam ze'ikr, that if this was actually the case, af tamad chacham b'dinu shelo yehi roe la'atzmo, then even a tamad chacham shouldn't see. V'ein zo kushya etzli, says the Ran. This is not a question to me. De la'atzmo eino ela livarer es ha'safek, says the Ran, something which I believe is explaining exactly what the Ritva is saying, going back to what we had earlier in this year. What's the difference between this case and other cases? What was the difference when it came to Truman, and what's the difference here? He says, when you're seeing it for yourself as a chacham, you don't need to get permission from yourself in order to shecht. You're simply checking, is this knife kosher, or is this knife not kosher? Aval la'acherim einu ela shemipnei kvodo shel chacham amru shelo yehi roi hasakin leshchot bo'achi yitin rishuas. He says, but for everybody else, it's not just about ascertaining that it's Nicholas III, right? It's not about just making sure there's nothing wrong with the sakin, but rather it's an actual nesinas rishus. That's what's making the sakin kosher. And therefore, he says, right, v'nim says nesinas rishus so tikun gamar kasiyas kli. Says beforehand, you could have the most beautiful knife clean from any nicks. What's that knife? A piece of garbage. It's useless. You can't check why. You didn't get rishus from the rabbi. So when it comes to everybody else showing him their knives, he says, it's mamish like asiyas kli. Exactly what the Balamor is getting at, right? Hab nira kemisakin v'danes hadin. Why? Because it's the rishus of the chacham that's making you allowed to slaughter with this knife. Nothing to do with ascertaining whether or not it's kosher or non-kosher. Masha enki, when the chacham seeing it for himself, that's exactly what he's doing. He's checking, does my knife have any nicks? In terms of comparing it to the cases, when it's for other people and he's actually making this allowed or not allowed, that's exactly comparable to the case of Roes HaBechor. Right? That's Misakin V'danes HaDin. Masha'inkin, when he's seeing it for himself, it's exactly comparable to seeing a treifa. Is it kosher or not kosher?
I didn't hear the whole share, but when you talk about covered harav, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a din in that you have to show to him that he has to paskin, or just seeing it like it's a nice thing to do, but you know it's okay?
I would say closer to the latter.
Right, he has to
right, meaning
his rishus, his right to
right.
Right. So
the post is point
so it's
out.
More, it's not kavod only; it's more than kavod, right?
Probably. No, it's kavod only.
It's probably a monetary issue too.
Again, we talked about that last week. Last week we talked about free lunches. Everything is relating to money. Last week.
Okay. The difficulty with he's saying is that would only work if it was only kosher if the knife was seen before the shechita. What we learned last week is even if the knife is seen after the shechita without it become, the animal is kosher. So the
that was in terms of hilchos shechita, not in terms of seeing it, having the chacham see it.
That was in terms of the chacham seeing it. That if someone showed
no, that was the Rambam shechita going against the Gemara that we saw by everybody else. The Rambam, that was the Rambam, that's what we said, he tied it to the other sugya of it actually being kosher, and therefore it was just a matter of having anybody see it before or afterwards. But the Rambam didn't acknowledge that the sugya of seeing it exists, which I think, and that's what I was planning on saying part of next week, is why the Rambam goes through a whole different path here. Because by him, this is not true. He says you got to show it to the rabbi, it's more of a kosher and treif, and therefore you can see it afterwards.
But that's what I was asking. The cover is more...
Right,
more,
and that's, yeah. That was really going to be next week's shiur, mainly. I mean, we're still going to go through it. We're still going to have to figure out the Rambam.
Yeah.
But this is going to be the main difference. If you're taking the Gemara at face value, like we saw many of the Rishonim do, that is strictly about kavod. Now, it's true. It's also a good idea to have a rabbi look at the knife. in terms of kashrus. But they're separate issues, according to most of these Rishonim. And that's why they have the ability to differentiate between these cases.
If it's only covered, then why is it mitachen in some ways? All you're doing is showing him the thing. It's not
so I don't think it's actually misakin, but again, it's nirakim misakin vidanes adin. You are changing this knife from being non-shechtable to shechtable.
No, it's just a cover. It's not. You're not changing halacha.
You are changing the halacha. You're not allowed to shecht without his rishus.
No, but you give him a cover. The cover means that you're just showing him, but you don't care what he says. There it is.
No, it's nirakim misakin. It's not really.
Yeah,
you're thinking of it as like a din in the chatza, you know.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what he's saying.
No, it's a nama masa that you shouldn't use it until the chacham, you know, gives you the green light.
So even though you may know that it's correct.
Yeah, I'm saying the knife isn't. The knife isn't a chazal knife.
Correct, but we're saying the knife may as well be puzzle until you have the rabbi move his finger over it.
Showing a normal knife to the rabbi. To make it mitakeh, that so that you can't shepherd it until after he looks at it, is much more of a tikkun than showing him a knife that's pagum and he tells you that it's kosher or not kosher.
Because the knife
that you're showing him, it's either pagum and it's no good,
right.
Or it's fine and it's fine. But it is what it is before
correct.
You show
and that's
it
why for
he's
him,
just telling you what it is.
I
you take it to the rabbi, it's the same knife before and after he looks at it,
cover.
But he makes it a completely different.
I'm just hung up on the word cover.
Okay, well.
Well, that is cover.
Yeah,
his kavod makes that knife into something that it wasn't it. Beforehand, and it's actually him looking at it changes the knife. Whereas,
or waving his kavod.
Okay. Anyways, with that, I think that's a really very beautiful explanation then of the Ritva and of the Ran to say that this is in fact a valid defense of the Baal Amor. Say that that's exactly why it's different is because. If we're looking at it purely from the perspective of kavod and not from any halachic concerns that may arise with the knife, this is actually very similar to the case of Riyas Bechar. The Radvaz gives a different teretz. Oh, we can read it. We've got a couple more minutes. Most beautiful to see with the Rajba in the next step, by the way. Umari Nero Tiretz Yoser Nachon. Dishani Bechar Shafilu Bechar Enoro Ala Atzmo Vafilu Humumcha. Okay, he says it depends on the weekday as well. He says it depends on whether or not he's allowed to see his own on Yontif. If he's allowed to see his own on weekdays, right? Then he says it looks less like Danes Hadin. Right, it's only when you're not allowed to see on weekdays that it looks like Danes Adin when the person's bringing to it now. When it comes to the knife, on the other hand, right, it doesn't look as much like that. But basically, he says since he sees his sakim during the week, only when other people come to him with it. Is it going to be aser? Because when someone else comes and presents their knife to the rabbi, you know the rabbi is giving a psak. Mashenkin with the bechor. The rabbi never sees his own bechor ever. So that's why he himself can't even see it on Yontif. Because that even that looks like Danes Adin Masha'inke, and the rabbi generally will see his own sakin, and therefore it's only Danes Adin when he looks at someone else's and not at its own. So Brisker Chilak, I'm sorry if I rushed through that a little quickly. I see that some of you may not have followed. But just to wrap it up, I wanted to see this last line in the Shita, which is the Rajba. And he says, you know what? The Rajba actually changed his mind. What was the Rajba's original question? It says, he asked on the Baal Amor, right? He says, so much so, he switched his mind. All these tirutzim of the Ritva and the Radvaz, he writes in Avodas HaKodesh, ve'enu mechuver pirash Baal Amor zal, mishum dekashya ha'damar chacham roa la'atzmo, umay kamash malan. Pshita! Right? Isn't that an amazing turnaround? In the Rajba and Chidushin, he comes to ask him, how could it possibly be that he can't see it for himself? It's impossible that the Baal Amor is right. Why? Because he should be able to see it for himself. Right? Because he shouldn't be able to see it for himself. Whereas when it comes to Avodas HaKodesh, does the Baal Amor must be wrong? Why? It's so obvious that that's the case. You really must have heard these answers and really internalized them, says the Shita. Because he's gone a complete 180, or 360, whatever you want to call it, it's really a 180. Even though people tend to use the term 360, this is my math teacher inside of me getting involved. But nevertheless, originally he's asking, he shouldn't be able to see it himself, therefore you, the Balamar, are wrong. Now he's saying, no, the Balamar is wrong because what he's saying is too obvious. Right? Umay kamash valam pshita. Harei shehikshe behepech the pshita deshari. Right? He's saying, now he says the opposite. So he really must have internalized the Ran's teretz, the Ritva's teretz, so much so that he flips his opinion of the Balamor. Nevertheless, it seems that most posts can reject the Balamor, and we'll see next week the Rambam and Rashi, and again, there's similarities and differences in explaining the context of the Gemara and explaining their Shita, and it will relate back to last week's shiur of the Gzeros. Now you've got to guess, more than a sneak preview of next week, but I hope that this at the very least wraps up the Bahag and the Balamor.